The tomb is empty. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had risen, had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you know how to sing the blues? You know how to sing the blues? That may seem like a strange question to ask on a beautiful Easter morning, but bear with me for a minute. The blues, you know, is an original, authentic American music. It was born in the cotton fields of the Mississippi Delta, the coal mines of the South. The blues music tells about a sad, sorrowful, difficult life. Life without much luck. That's the blues music. For example, if you died in a knife fight in some sleazy dive in Memphis, Tennessee, your family can sing the blues. But if you died getting liposuction, they can't sing the blues. You see the difference, huh? But if you know what the blues is, this hard, difficult, sorrowful life, it begs another question. Do you have the right to sing the blues? Do you have the right, or I have the right, to sing the blues? A couple of examples. If you lose a leg on your annual winter skiing vacation in Aspen, Colorado, you don't have the right to sing the blues. If you lose a leg to an alligator in a swamp down on the Louisiana Bayou trying to fish for supper for your family, then you have the right to sing the blues. If you wear a suit, you can't sing the blues, unless you're an 80-year-old man who slept in your suit last night in a boxcar on a train going to nowhere. Then you can sing the blues. You see the difference. But this morning, understanding that, I'd like to look briefly at three people who have the right to sing the blues. The first is Mary, the mother of Jesus. It wasn't that long ago that she held this baby of promise in her arms, looking down into the eyes of the one who God had promised would be great. She'd watched him grow. She'd watched him mesmerize the people by his stories and his teaching and his telling the story of God's love and of God's kingdom. She watched that. She watched him reach out his hand and touch people and heal them. But then she watched as things went terribly wrong. The leaders of the people became angry at him. Leaders of the people thought he was a heretic. And the leaders finally got him up there. And she's standing there now at the foot of that cross, looking up at her son, his life ebbing out of him, every breath a painful chore. And all she can do is stand there and watch, and ultimately take his dead body into her own arms and sing the blues. Then there's Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, we're told, was a woman from whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. He'd given her a new life, new hope, new promise. She became one of his followers. And now there she was standing at the foot of the cross, watching this man she had grown to love, dying up there as if he were a common criminal, his blood flowing down the cross. And all she could do was weep and sing the blues. Then there's Simon Peter. Peter believed in Jesus. But Jesus believed in him even more. Hadn't he said to Peter, "You are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church"? Peter gloried in that. Until all of a sudden, he found out he wasn't such a rock after all. He betrayed Jesus, abandoned him, ran away. Now all he can do is look at a distance at those three crosses and sing the blues. But then, something strange happens. Something very strange. The women go to the tomb. The stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. What's that mean? They run and tell the apostles. The apostles, Peter and John, run to the tomb. They look in. They see the burial cloths. The tomb is empty. What's that mean? And finally they come to understand, because Jesus himself begins to appear to them. He appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to Peter, we're told. He appears to the apostles and Mary up in the upper room. He appears to St. Paul on the road to Damascus. St. Paul tells us in one of his letters that Jesus appeared to 500 disciples at the same time. They come to understand the reason the tomb's empty is because he's alive. He's risen. And you know what he does when he rises? He steals something from all of those people. You know what he steals from them? The right to sing the blues. When he rises and shows himself to them, he steals from them the right to sing the blues. Because his resurrection means that goodness and truth conquer evil. His resurrection means that light conquers darkness. His resurrection means, most importantly, that life always conquers death. Light conquers darkness. Goodness conquers evil. Life conquers death. That's what his resurrection means. And how important is that to you and me? Because sometimes we think we should sing the blues. We think we've got the right to sing the blues. We fail. We lose. We sin. And ultimately, of course, we die. Doesn't that give us the right to sing the blues? Well, only up to a point. Because you see, if truth conquers falsehood and light conquers darkness, that means that even in this life, all of our failures can be wiped away. We can always have a new start, a new beginning. We can only sing the blues for so long if we believe in Jesus, because he gives us new life. And most importantly, He's going to give us new life forever. That's what his resurrection means. Death conquers life. Let me give you a little example of that. There was a little boy named Jeremy. Jeremy was 12 years old, but he was still in the second grade because Jeremy had some kind of a congenital issue. His head was a little bit misshapen. He understood, but he was slow. He was very slow. He was in the second grade, even though he was 12, in a little Catholic school. And the little kids, you know, tried to be good to him. But Jeremy was different, you know. Some days he'd come into class, go up to the teacher's desk, right up to the teacher's desk, and he'd say, "Miss Miller, I love you, Miss Miller, I love you, I love you, Miss Miller." And she'd say, "Well, Jeremy, thank you. Now go sit down." He'd go sit down. Well, one day, it was springtime like this. And she was trying to teach them about new life, about the coming back of spring, new life, and so forth. And so what she did is she passed out to every one of the kids in the class. There were 20 children in the class, including Jeremy, 20. She gave each one of them one of those little plastic eggs that opens up. You know, you open them up and there's nothing inside. You can put candy inside or something. So she gave them one of those little empty plastic eggs. She said to them, "Now you go home tonight, and I want you to come back tomorrow with something inside that egg that shows new life, new beginnings." So she's watching the class as she's explaining this, and Jeremy's very intent. He's listening very carefully. But she wonders whether he really gets it. So she says, "I better call his parents and explain the lesson plan." So one thing leads to another. She forgets to call. The next day, all the kids troop into the classroom, up to her desk, put their little eggs, plastic eggs, in a basket. The day goes along. It's time now to open up the eggs. So she opens up one egg, and inside there's a little plastic butterfly. Little girl raises her hand. "That's mine, Miss Miller. That's mine, mine." She said, "Rachel, that's lovely. You know, we know caterpillars turn into butterflies in the spring, new life. That's very good, Rachel." Opens up another egg. Inside there's a little sprout, a little bud. "That's mine, Miss Miller. That's my daddy helped me with that." "Well, Ralphie, that's very good. A new flower, that's wonderful, new life." Takes out the third egg, opens it up. It's empty. Nothing in there. Empty. She thinks, "Oh my God, this must be Jeremy's. I forgot to call his parents. He didn't understand. It's empty." So she kind of slides it away. She doesn't want to. Jeremy puts up his hand. "Miss Miller, that's my egg. Aren't you going to talk about my egg?" She didn't want to, you know, embarrass him. But she said, well, Jeremy, the egg is empty." He says, "I know. Jesus' tomb was empty. Jesus' tomb was empty. New life, new beginnings. Jesus' tomb was empty. That's why the egg is empty." And he says, "You know." And she said, "Well, what do you understand about that, Jeremy?" He said, "Well, mean people put Jesus to death, but his father raised him up. His father broke him out of the tomb. His father gave him new life. That's why the egg is empty." And he said, "And you know," he said, what's even better is that someday God's going to break me out. Going to break me out and break you out of the tomb. Give us new life." Two months later, Jeremy died. On the day of his funeral, a little church, people walked in, they were amazed, because on the top of his casket, his classmates had placed 19 empty plastic eggs. 19 empty plastic eggs. Empty, because God had broken Jeremy out. Life conquers death. Life conquers death. So Jeremy really couldn't sing the blues. And you and I can't sing the blues, at least not for too long. Life conquers death. Because Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Poor. Every year I have to tell you over and over again. Remember what I told you last year, for those of you who are here. When you say that, when you respond to that, if you really understand what it means, you know, those are the four most important words in the whole history of the world because of what they mean. God broke Jesus out. He's going to break you out and me. Life conquers death. So when you say that, you should not only say it out loud, but stand up and cheer and clap. That's the joy we should feel because Jesus Christ is risen.
He has risen indeed.
That's more like it. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. Hallelujah.